We just heard from Joseph Margulies, who represented several Guantanamo detainees in the Supreme Court case Rasul versus Bush. The court ruled that detainees should have access to the courts to challenge their detention. My guest, Richard Samp, is the chief counsel of the Washington Legal Foundation, which filed briefs in support of the Bush administration in Rasul and in a related case that the Supreme Court is expected to rule on this month. I asked him to explain his position on Rasul.
The United States government has the right to detain enemy combatants who have fought against us in wars until the conclusion of that war. And it doesn't make any difference whether these people are charged with any crimes. They can be held without trial for the duration of hostilities. Many of the people at Guantanamo Bay fought against us in Afghanistan. That fighting is continuing. So long as that fighting is continuing, there is nothing wrong with holding people for the duration of the conflict.
But even America's leaders have said this conflict's going to go on for a long time. This isn't likely to be a year of 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. This can go on for a very, very long time. So it's not like there's going to be an end in sight if you're using the end of the war as the occasion for somebody's release or for a trial. They might die long before that.
Two things are going on at Guantanamo. First of all, everybody is given a hearing to determine whether or not they really are an enemy combatant, and a certain number of people have been released after it's been found that they're not enemy combatants. Moreover, on an annual basis, the United States government makes a determination as to whether or not the people being held still present a danger to the United States. If they don't present a danger, they are released. And so that to say that they are being held indefinitely simply is not true. Moreover, how you define what is a war, it can be either broad or narrow. And one of the narrow definitions of a war is the war that we have been fighting against the Taliban in Afghanistan. That war probably will not be going on indefinitely. And one can be reasonably assured that one way or the other, that war is going to be over in 2, 3, or 4 years.
Do you think that the combatant status review tribunals have been fair to the detainees in Guantanamo? And I ask that because critics of those tribunals say that the detainees aren't allowed to have lawyers for those trials. They're not given the charges against them or the evidence against them, information that was coerced through torture is admissible. And so a lot of critics say this is just a sham. It's not fair.
Under the rules of war, there is supposed to be some kind of hearing to determine whether the person really was an enemy combatant. Most of those hearings are conducted on the battlefield. They don't usually take place. They don't take more than about 20 or 30 minutes to hold. By those standards, the hearings that are going on at Guantanamo Bay are highly elaborate and give people who are being held far more rights than the typical enemy combatant or prisoner of war would get. Are these hearings the same as a full-fledged trial? No. But there has never been a requirement that people being held as prisoners of war have a right to a full-fledged hearing before they can be held. And for example, in World War II, when we were holding several million people as enemy combatants at the end of the war, it would have been administratively impossible to give the kind of hearings that people are asking for here.
Do you think Guantanamo should be closed down?
I find it bewildering that people are asking for it to be closed down. Right now, we have one facility in the world at Guantanamo that is relatively open to the press. It is open to the lawyers of each of the people being detained, and they are all being given the right to go into federal court to assert their rights. We have regular visits from the Red Cross. We have the review tribunals that we've been talking about before. And we have fairly good accountability for what's going on. If you closed down the facility there, the alternative is that you continue to hold people in secret locations around the world and in Afghanistan, where the rights being afforded to people being held as enemy combatants are far worse. So it seems to me what people are really asking for is, let's do all of this in secret so that perhaps the world can't see what we are doing. I think it's far better to have an open facility where people can see what's going on and can see that in those very few cases where there have been instances of prisoner abuse, that those responsible are being held accountable.
You say that Guantanamo has been open to the press. The press access to Guantanamo has been very limited, and just a few days ago, three reporters were actually asked to leave.
By the standards of prisons, I would say that you would find that Guantanamo is quite open. I don't see how you can compare Guantanamo to undisclosed locations where people don't even know where the prisons are and therefore can't possibly have access.
But if Guantanamo was closed, would the only alternative be undisclosed locations in other countries or Afghanistan, or would the alternative be build a better facility?
Well, I don't know what people are asking for. If what they mean is let's close Guantanamo because the only people we should be holding are those people who have gone through a full-fledged federal court criminal trial, that's absurd. I think all you have to do is look at the examples of people like Zacharias Moussaoui to see how unworkable that is. If that's the alternative they're asking for, then it would be absurd to close down Guantanamo Bay. If what they're saying is there is something particularly bad about Guantanamo Bay, so that should be the facility that is closed, and instead we should rely on other existing facilities, I'm not sure that that makes a whole lot of sense, given that Guantanamo is by far the most open of all of the facilities that are out there.
Well, the Supreme Court is expected to rule very soon on a case called Hamdan versus Rumsfeld. And I know in this case you filed a brief on behalf of the Bush administration. Would you give us a short summary of this case and tell us your position on it?
Mr. Hamdan is a detainee at Guantanamo Bay, and he is one of a handful of those detainees who the federal government is planning to bring criminal charges against, meaning that unlike all the other detainees who will be released at the end of hostilities, if he is convicted, he could get a lengthy prison sentence up to life in prison. He has been charged with conspiracy to murder Americans. He worked, admittedly, for a number of years as an aide and personal chauffeur to Osama bin Laden. His claim is, first of all, that Congress has never authorized the types of military tribunals that the military is planning to use to conduct these trials. And secondly, he argues, even if these military tribunals are authorized, the types of rules that they are planning to employ don't comply with either the military code of justice of the United States, or they don't comply with the Geneva Convention.
And what is your position?
Our position is, first of all, the Supreme Court should not be hearing this case, that at the very least, the federal courts ought to stay their hand until after these trials have taken place. And then if there is a conviction, they can appeal under the normal appeals process that's available to any other criminal. And, for example, Congress passed a law last year specifically authorizing federal court review of any conviction of somebody like Mr. Hamdan. Secondly, it's our position that because Mr. Hamdan does not qualify as a prisoner of war, he is not entitled to the protections of the Geneva Convention. And those protections, by the way, would require that any trial be in the form of a court-martial similar to court-martials afforded to United States soldiers. And that, secondly, the Military Code of Justice of the United States does not prohibit what the government is planning to do.
Well, Richard Sump, thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Richard Sump is the chief counsel of the Washington Legal Foundation. Earlier, we heard from civil liberties lawyer Joseph Margulies. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Ian Chillog, Patty Leswing, Sam Brigger, and Jonathan Menjivar. I'm Terry Gross.